Well, good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Janice M., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Monday. It is July 27th, 2015. Today we're reading from the big book, pardon me, and we are at page 102, the last paragraph, beginning with many of us keep. And today's readers are the 12 Steps, Janice B., 12 Traditions, Nadia B. The readers of our text are Larry K., Terry H., and Angela D. The share ID for yesterday, for Sunday, July 26, 2015, our special edition by Penny C., Keep It Simple, is 7871. That's 7871. Our OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Janice B. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, everyone. This is Janice B., recovered compulsive overeater, grateful to be here. Number one, step one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message and to practice these principles in all our affairs.
Thank you, Janice B. Okay, I will now ask Nadia B. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, everyone. This is Nadia B., grateful recovering compulsive overeater in Connecticut. The 12th tradition, one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are the trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought to never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. These problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contribution. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought to never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. 10. The OA name ought to never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is a spiritual foundation of all these traditions. Ever remind us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, everyone.
And thank you, Nadia. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press *1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press *1 to mute your phone. And in order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 102, the last paragraph. I will now ask Larry K. to please begin reading.
Janice, good morning. Larry K., recovered compulsive reader from Chicago. Many of us keep liquor in our homes. We often need it to carry green recruits through a severe hangover. Some of us still serve it to our friends, provided they are not alcoholic. But some of us think we should not serve liquor to anyone. We never argued this question. We feel that each family, in the light of their own circumstances, ought to decide for themselves. So, you know, what we read here, I mean, obviously, you know, we are, again, in step 12, you know, in working with others. So we've, you know, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, you know, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and practice these principles in all our affairs. I always want to be mindful of what step I'm on. And, you know, here, this transformation has occurred already. So, you know, it's essentially what we're saying is that, you know, whether or not we keep our binge substances in our home, that's, you know, for us to decide. It seems like, you know, prudence is a good thing to have here. I mean, some people on the line are, you know, are recovered compulsive overeaters who, you know, live obviously with their families and, you know, and not all their families, you know, you may not live with other compulsive overeaters, or perhaps maybe you do, but you know, but these individuals, perhaps they don't, you know, they're not working a program like we're working. And, you know, again, you know, love and tolerance, acceptance, these are some of the principles that I live by today. I do know in my case that, you know, I don't necessarily keep my binge substances around in my home. However, I will have the binge substances around, various foods around, if, you know, I have a reason to have them around. And, you know, I can give you an example in my case. If my daughter, her friends are, you know, I don't live, other than my dog and my daughter, when she's, you know, my daughter splits time between, my home and her mom's home. But, you know, when she's here, you know, one, my daughter she doesn't follow a program like I follow. She's not a compulsive overeater. When she has her, you know, when she's here with her friends, I'll have the food around here. But that's a choice that I can make, because in this case, the food is neutral to me today. Thank you, God. And so I don't, whether it's here or not, it doesn't capture my attention. Prior to having a spiritual awakening, I would, you know, purposefully keep the food out of my home, always picking it up eventually. But today it doesn't matter whether it's here or not. But this is a decision that each family can make in light of their circumstances. And I don't have a strong opinion one way or the other with it being here. But I guess where I wrap up and say is I wouldn't keep it here. You know, if it's just me, you know, there's no, to live with some sort of vicarious pleasure or something, I don't keep it around for those purposes. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Well, thank you, Larry. Okay, we're going to open up the meeting now. For anyone that would like to share, please press star one. Okay, who's going to be first? Anybody want to start?
My name is Teresa from New York.
Well, I heard New York. I didn't get the first name.
Hi, Janice. It's Naomi.
Patricia.
Teresa? Okay.
Patricia.
Oh, Patricia? Okay. Patricia from
Patricia.
New York.
Yes, I'm a compulsive eater in recovery. First time sharing on the line. Not able to get to my regular meetings this week, so I just am grateful that everyone is on the line, and I love the big book. I love every word of it. I love this passage, and it's pertinent. I'm having a very big party on Friday evening, and there'll be things in my home that I don't necessarily normally have around. And as someone had already said, if I'm in good spiritual condition, then I can handle it. If I'm not, then I can't. So, I just have to be mindful of my connection with God. And then usually afterwards, my choice is just get rid of this stuff, because it's just, if I'm not going to eat it and no one around me is, then I just try to get rid of it. So I'm glad I'm here, glad I'm on the line, and I thank everyone for being there.
And thank you, Patricia. Welcome to our meeting. Okay, I think I heard Naomi.
Yes.
Is there anyone else beside Naomi?
Amy.
Amy. Amy G. Amy.
Melanie E.
Lassa O. Too.
Hold on, just one second. Amy, what's the initial of your last name?
E as in Edward.
E. Amy E. Okay. Oh, golly, I missed. I heard Vasa, and whom else?
Melissa C.
Melissa C. Let's go with that. Okay, we're going to hear from Naomi B. Go ahead, Naomi.
Okay, thank you, Janice. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, thank you, Janice. Thank you for your service, and thank you, my fellow visionaries. good paragraph. Because we have to live in this world. We're not really of this world, but we have to live in this world. And for the majority of my family, they're normal eaters. I am not. I'm a compulsive eater. I have that mental twist. But the difference is I can live in their world. And we've had parties here. We've had baby showers here. And I put the food objects out, and they're just things to me. It's not my food. I'm not going to indulge in it. But I'm not going to deprive my family of having a nice time here. And This is the freedom, from bondage, the freedom from these foods that God has granted me. So when we have these parties, and 3 o'clock in the afternoon certainly is not a time for me to eat, but It's such a freedom. It's like someone had taken this huge weight off my back and off my brain that I could set these foods out for others to enjoy. And I do. I let them have their party. They enjoy it. I socialize. And this program has given me such a freedom like I've never had in my life before. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
And thank you, Naomi. Okay, Amy E., you're up.
Good morning, everyone. Amy E., gratefully recovering from compulsive overeating in Ohio. Many of us keep liquor in our homes. And then Bill goes on to write, under the circumstances in which this happens, right, we often need it to carry green recruits through a severe hangover or be serving it to friends, provided they are not alcoholics. So this goes back to the paragraph before. Your job now is to be at the place where you may be of maximum helpfulness to others. So here is an instance in which there's a good reason to keep liquor in the home, to help others get through a hangover and to be welcoming and to provide hospitality to friends. But they're not going to get into the debate, right? We have ceased fighting anything or anyone. People have different opinions about this. As long as I'm not stocking it up in my home to get, as Larry mentioned, a vicarious thrill, I have to check my motives all the time. Am I really stocking up all those cookies because I'm expecting friends? Or am I doing that because I'm getting some sort of thrill out of laying up my larder for the next binge? This is where my 10-step inventory every day, do I need to do one of the questions in that 10-step inventory? Is there something that I need to talk about with somebody that I haven't talked to them about? And maybe I'm carrying that secret feeling of that this time it's going to be different. This time I'll be able to have that, just one. In which case I need to call somebody right away and share that and do a 10-step. Thank you for your service. This is a great meeting. I pass.
And thank you, Amy E., for sharing. Vasa O., it's your turn. Star 1 to unmute, Vasa.
Thank you. I was talking to myself. Good morning, everyone. I'm Vasa O., recovered compulsive overeater, calling from Massachusetts, and thank you, Janice, for your service. And this is really a good paragraph working, you know, the 12-step working with others. And, you know, I bring myself where I was when I started the beginning of my program, being abstinent. I was just so afraid to bring stuff in the house or being where there was food. And it is by the grace of God the obsession has been lifted and the fear, you know. And but I'll never forget, you know, when I was very newly abstinent, my father came to visit us for about 2 or 3 days, and he has had drinking problems. He's dead by now, anyways. And I withheld the liquor. I didn't want to serve him any liquor. But I didn't know much about the withdrawals at that time. You know, I mean, I knew about the food, but I was very naive. I just did not know. And he was getting the shakes. But he used the excuse that he was sick, you know. But in the past, I remember my mother telling me that he would get the shakes if he didn't drink. But anyways, I was really afraid. I was ready to rush him in the hospital. But anyways, it was the time for him to go home that day. And he probably stopped at the liquor store and got his medicine, and he was fine. But anyways, and I have to apply this, you know, on myself, you know, with the sugar things, you know. And at the beginning, yes, I did everything I could not to be near it. But today I can serve it today. I can be near it. The fear is not there. We have cookouts and stuff. My families, I have friends over, you know, the food is around, but I know that's not my food. I have certain ways that I eat, you know, and it's my program. This is the way I work my program. It's none of my business, you know, what other people do with their foods or anything. So it really is love and tolerance. when I'm spiritually fit, then I feel like I am spiritually fit today, and I have been for a long time, and I can go anywhere, I can go any place, and I feel like I'm protected. I have that shield around me. I have God's protection, not with just the food, with everything in my life. And even if things are not going around, I can always run to God, turn to God to help me deal. You know, I don't have to run to the food anymore, you know, for comfort. You know, whatever goes in my life, I run to God, and I run to my friends, and I run to my program, and I do my 12 steps as I go along. So thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
And thank you, Vasa O. Melissa C., you're next.
Hi, good morning. This is Melissa C., recovered compulsive overeater in New York. You know, this is what separates me from being recovered and recovering, because, you know, earlier on in my abstinence and working my program, you know, it was really all about avoiding those foods, keeping those foods away from me, because I wasn't transformed yet. They still had a tremendous hold on me. You know, now at this point, I do keep my alcoholic foods in my house. You know, I have to. I have a family that doesn't have to abstain from these foods. And, you know, for so long, I denied them their treats because I was always eating them before they could have their share. I ate their Valentine's, their Halloween stuff, their Easter baskets. For me, nothing was off limits. And, you know, part of my amends is that I don't touch what's theirs now, and I allow them to have what they can have, what they want. You know, there are certain foods that I myself don't buy purposefully to bring in the house because they don't hold any excitement for anyone else other than they once held a lot of excitement for me. So, but I don't forbid them from coming into the house. And, you know, a beautiful part of this is that I'm not that controlling anymore with other people. You know, I can prepare foods for my family. Some foods I can prepare and handle. It has no response from me at all. It's not interesting. You know, but years ago, I used to love to bake. And, you know, I don't know that I love to bake. I love to eat, and I love to be able to make what I wanted. And today, I don't bake. I simply just have zero desire to do it. And, you know, my daughter reminded me about a year ago, maybe a couple years ago, that I used to always bake cookies on when there was a snow day from school and how she loved that and she missed that. And, you know, I smiled and I told her that, you know, she's blessed. She has that memory and she can enjoy the memory of it. And she can always bake the cookies now herself on snow days. You know, I don't forbid this from happening. Why would I? You know, that would be selfish and self-absorbed. And, you know, my program has taught me about not being that way any longer. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Melissa C. Is there anyone else that would like to share?
Leah S.
Leah S. Anyone else?
Nessa?
Say that again, Nessa?
Yes.
And your last initial is what, Nessa?
R.
Okay, let's have Leah S. and then Nessa.
Good yes. morning, Janet. Jim, good morning, everyone. This is Leah S., recovered compulsive overeater. And what I'd like to share is that, thank you, God, that I have my abstinence and that I practice my program every single day. And what food used to do to me, when I used to stuff that food down my throat, it does not do that to me anymore. It does not satisfy me. It does not call to me. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. It's been replaced with spirituality. And spirituality meaning doing certain things that fill me up so much more than food ever could. I do my program with other things, and it is so amazing when I seek out to do things for others and I see what the results are. They fill me up. they really fill me up that the way that food never could. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Leah S. Okay, Nessa R.
Hi, good morning. My name is Nessa R, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. I'm the type of compulsive overeater for whom there are no specific trigger foods. Yeah, I get a charge out of sugar, flour, deep fried, you know, the usual. But I can also get a charge out of just about anything, the most innocuous foods for anybody. You know, baby carrots, lettuce, apples, you know, whatever, anything will do for me. And the truth is, I got to keep food in my house. It's not only that I got to keep sugar and flour in my house because I have children and I, you know, other family members, some of whom are normal eaters, some of whom are not normal eaters but are not in recovery. But I got to keep apples and I got to keep lettuce and I got to keep carrots in my house. The difference is that I am recovered now. And my food has a proper place in my life. My food is for nutritional purposes only, in order to give me the energy that I need to serve God and help others. So I only eat what I need to eat. And I have that focus now, regardless of what's around me, regardless of what others around me are eating or not eating. It doesn't matter what's in front of me. I know that food has a definite purpose, you know, to give me the energy that I need. And it's something that is very clear in my mind now as a result of having discovered, truly discovered, the Big Book and the 12 Steps. And, you know, without it in my life, I don't know, I'd still be binging on apple peels, who knows, and weird stuff. But thank God for recovery. Thank God for that focus that my life doesn't have to revolve around food. So I can shop for those things. I can keep them in my house. I can, you know, do that without any fear whatsoever that I'm going to lose control. As long as I keep working the steps every single day, as long as I keep my side of the street clean by following these precious and very effective directions in the Big Book, I know I have nothing to fear no matter what I keep in my refrigerator or in my cupboards, which is such a freedom that I never, never had before, even in those brief periods of time when I decided that I'm not going to buy cookies or ice cream or whatever, because there was always something that I could look for to derive that sense of ease and comfort that now I get from serving God and from helping others. And thank you very much. I will pass with that.
And thank you. Okay, I think we're going to go on to page 103, paragraph 1. And Terry, I would kindly...
Excuse me? This is Shawana from Israel. Can I share, please?
Go ahead. Sure, Shawana, go ahead.
Actually, it's not a share. I'm leaving Israel for 3 weeks, and I'm coming to Toronto, Canada, and maybe Nessa can give me her contact, or I can give her my contact information,
okay.
My phone number.
Okay. What we're going to do, we have, a program here. We're going to wait until the next meeting, okay, to do that.
Okay.
So if you could hold
on
kindly, we'd be glad to leave your number, and you can ask for Nessa's telephone number, okay?
Sorry, Janice, this is, or Kathy, this is Nessa. I don't stay for the second hour because I have responses, but my contact information is on the member list on the website.
Okay. I don't have, I can't reach it. I'm not a member.
You could call me. I have Nisha's phone number. Devorah, New Jersey.
Can you give me your phone number?
Yeah, I'm in New Jersey. 201-944-1956.
1956?
1956.
1956. 201-944-1956.
Yes, call me, please. I have to go for 2 minutes.
Okay. Yeah, we have to continue. Yeah, thank you. We have to continue now in the big book. Page 103, we're going to ask Terry H., please, to read that first paragraph. Thank you.
Thank you, Janice. Terry H., recovered compulsive overeater from Maine. We're careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. Experience shows that such an attitude is not helpful to anyone. Every new alcoholic looks for the spirit among us and is immensely relieved when he finds we are not witch burners. A spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics whose lives could have been saved had it not been for such stupidity. We would not even do the cause of temperate drinking any good, for not one drinker in a thousand likes to be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it. And I would just like to focus in on part of two lines. The first one is the spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics whose lives could have been saved. And, you know, we learned back on page 84 there at the bottom, what is our code? Love and tolerance is our code. So I always try to meet people where they're at, and I always try to put myself in their shoes. And the second line that I want to focus in on is the last line where it says, for not one drinker in a thousand likes to be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it. And I always think about the line that we learned in the five words in the doctor's opinion on page XXVIII. And the five words are frothy emotional appeal seldom suffices. So, again, I try to put myself in that person's shoes. You know, was there anything that anyone could have said to me to keep me from picking up my binge foods or overeating? I mean, I just know for me, like, you couldn't tell me what to do. You couldn't plead with me. You couldn't scare me. You couldn't shame me. And, you know, I really had to come to the place of surrender on my own. So when I read this paragraph, I think about, you know, if someone's not asking for help, you know, what makes me think that they need it? And I've learned in this paragraph, sometimes it takes more faith to say nothing. And there's three things that I use, you know, is it loving, is it kind, is it necessary? So again, my actions speak a lot louder than my words. So, you know, I have family members that see what I do on a daily basis. And I also have family members that have come to me and asked for help. And that was all by the grace of God that I haven't had to say anything, but just keep putting my actions and doing what I need to do, because it is attraction, not promotion. And I get to be that power of example on a daily basis. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks, Janice.
And thank you, Terry H. Okay, is there anyone else that would like to comment on this paragraph? From
Madam,
anybody else?
Kim G.
Allison.
Allison? I'm sorry, wait a minute. Matt, Kim G. Did you say Allison?
Allison C.
Okay, Allison C. Anybody else?
Christy.
Who?
Christy.
Spell that.
Chrissy,
P-R-I-S-S-Y?
Okay. K-R-I, sometimes I act that way, but no, K is in K-R-I-S-S-Y.
Okay, Chrissy. Okay,
Chrissy M.
Okay, good enough. Now we'll start with Matt M. Please, Matt M.
Good morning, my fellow visionaries. This is Matt M., recovered compulsive overeater. Yes, the New Jersey contingent lined up. It says the spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics. I cannot be intolerant of others who are still compulsively or overeating, because when I was in the food, I was a miserable cuss indeed. It says an alcoholic is in his cup, and his cups is a miserable preacher indeed. Absolutely. Anybody who would try to tell me to stop, it's like until I was ready, I would attack them like a rabid animal, very, very verbally and vicious. And people who know me now, they would never think that I was ever like that. But if they would have seen me a year ago or even 6 months ago, they would have had a very different person on their hands. And because we don't want, the food is the last thing we use as our last life support before we find program. So for somebody to try to take it away from us when we don't realize we need program at the time, we fight like a rabid dog that has bit its bone. I know I did, and I know I'm not alone with that feeling. It might sound extreme, but it's true. Same thing like the Jaywalker story talks about. Yep, that was me. You know, hitting myself constantly over the head or again, going out in traffic and getting run over. That's exactly what it did. So when I approach people now who I know are definitely suffering, because I'm definitely coming from large numbers, very large numbers, I'm not trying to make myself unique by saying that. I just mean I have a unique experience. Like everybody in the room has their own unique experience, strength, and hope they can share with certain people who they know they could reach. I know my story might not reach everybody, but my story can reach some people. So I don't want to be intolerant of other people who are still eating, because then I would just be no better than they are, and I just want to be of maximum service to them and to God and my fellow man. And with that, I'll pass.
Well, thank you, Matt M. Kim G., it's your turn.
Good morning, Janice. Good morning, all. My name is Kim G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey. Careful to never show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution. Oh, gosh, I forgot to set my timer. Hold on. Okay. Such an attitude would not be helpful. And then, boy, this is some strong language. A spirit of intolerance might repel alcoholics whose lives could have been saved had it not been for such stupidity. That's pretty strong language, you know, because I have something to tell you guys. Diets do work. You know, moderate exercise and curbing your calories works if you're not a compulsive overeater. So to be slamming these diet programs is not helpful because it works for many people. So I have to be careful not to be slamming Jenny Craig and Weight Watchers and the show The Biggest Loser. Because if you are not a compulsive overeater, those are really good methods for you to lose weight. So all I can do is share what my experience is, and then if someone has my problem, they're going to identify in. If they don't, they're not. You know, often when someone asks me, you know, it looks like you've lost a lot of weight, what happened? I said, well, I found out I'm allergic to certain foods, and when I start eating them, I can't stop. And for people who don't have my problem, like, that's a very wise thing to do. For someone who has my problem, they might ask me a question a couple days later and say, what does that mean that you can't stop once you start? So I'm not going in there as a bulldozer. And the other thing, just to kind of put in what was in the last paragraph with the idea of green recruits, is that's why I feel it's so, so important in Overeaters Anonymous specifically for us to be recovered before we're carrying this message, because we are a fellowship that has been blessed and challenged that we all have different allergies. And if I don't have neutrality around the food, what I'm going to do is inflict my food plan on you. I'm going to tell you what my binge foods are and make you abstain from my binge foods, because I can't be around people who don't eat like me. And let me tell you, if you don't have the same binge foods, if you're abstaining from foods that I'm allergic to and you're not, that's just not helpful. But if I'm telling you there's certain foods I can eat and I'm saying you can eat them but you're allergic to them, that's deadly. So it's so essential that we understand that. And we are also a group that has a lot of factions within OA. And if I think I can only help people that eat like me, I'm going to be a lot less helpful. So I sponsor people who are in How and See How and 90 Day and Gray Sheet, because all I care about is, are you abstaining from the foods that create the phenomenon of craving in you? And let's get busy so that mental obsession can be addressed. If I am worried about you eating like me, I am not being helpful. And the last thing I'm just going to say, because I think it's important for us to say this is this meeting, I often hear, I need a vision for you sponsor. I have to do the steps the vision for you way. There is no such thing. We are a meeting that is absolutely united on the idea, first you put the food down, and then you work the steps according to the big book. So what we are united on is that. So if you have a person in your area who is recovered, who has had this message, grab on. Vision for You is not a program. It's just a people who have know this common solution, which is the big book of Overeaters Anonymous. And with this, I pass.
And thank you, Kim. Okay, Alyssa C., it's your turn.
It's actually Allison. Allison C. Allison. From North. It's okay. Allison C. from North Jersey. I love this paragraph. I wasn't going to share this morning, but it kind of just hit me. I just remember people that I was sponsoring, they like weren't getting it, and I was like, oh, why aren't they getting it? Why aren't they doing it my way and my food plan? And I just, you know, this really kind of brings it home that it's like it doesn't matter. We are like, who are we to judge where people are at? And you kind of have to meet them where they at, like I heard somebody else say. You know, I think about when I first came in, I thought these people and you know, in program were like a cult. They say like witch burners. I thought, oh my gosh, this is a cult. I don't want to do this. You know, I was raised Catholic. And then, you know, I got desperate enough to read this book and pick up this book and adopt this spiritual program as a way of life. And, you know, there was a period of time where I lived with family and I would binge on their food and be like, it's their fault that I'm binging because they're keeping it in the house. And, you know, I'd be like, why do you keep this food in the house? And it's like, who am I to judge? You know, I have no business being in those cabinets. You know, if I'm living this program, and who am I to really judge other people? You know, my mom needs this program. My cousin needs this program. And for the longest time, I was angry that they weren't doing it. But that's none of my business. And maybe they'll come in the program. Maybe they never will. But I have to let that go, and I have to be concerned about myself, and I have to go seek out others who need my help. And, you know, it's really not for me to decide, you know, who is and who isn't a compulsive overeater. It says it in this book that we are the ones that decide, you know, we come up, it's a self-diagnosed disease. You know, no one can tell us that we are or we aren't. And thank you for letting me share.
And thank you, Allison. Okay, it's Chrissy. Chrissy M., please judge her.
Hi, Chrissy M., recovered compulsive overeater from North Jersey. And I have such a experience with this because I have done it the wrong way. And it in all people, when I first came in to a 12-step program, I just thought, you know, the world should be reformed. I probably would have been one of those people that were on the bandwagon about prohibition back in the day, because I really believed that that sugar, wheat, alcohol, anything that makes people addicted or gets them hooked into this cycle of obsessive compulsive behavior and robs them of their lives, it's evil, and it should all be banned and just go away. You know, but that's the black and white thinking of the alcoholic mind. I know that now. And so for me, God's opened my mind up in this program. Thank the Lord that I am more open-minded than that now, and that I can come to understand why people say I'm a grateful, recovering, fill-in-the-blank. I understand. I'm so grateful for being a compulsive overeater because it was the one thing that was strong enough to bring me to my knees so that I could look for a higher power. It was the one thing that brought me out of my self-sufficiency and my selfish way of trying to make a life and manage my life and find what we're all looking for, which is connection, you know. And the only way for me was through the door of this devastating disease. So I'm grateful that the food is out there. I'm grateful that I can say to someone, you know, try some more controlled eating. You know, it says in the 12 and 12 of Alcoholics Anonymous that John Barleycorn can be our best advocate, and we let people hit bottom. You know, if all of these foods were just taken out of our diets one day, they were just deemed wrong and, you know, not healthy, and the FDA banned sugar and wheat, there'd be people going out and sneaking just like they did in Prohibition to find them. I can't control it. I don't have any desire to do it. It needs to be there so people who need this program could hit their bottom. So with that, I'll share the time. Thank you.
And thank you, Chrissy M. Is there anyone else that would like to comment on this paragraph?
Jody E.
I'm sorry?
Jody E.
Judy E. Anyone else? Okay, Judy. Go ahead.
Actually, it's Jody.
Jody. Jody E.
Jody. Okay. Yes, thank you. Well, I appreciate everything I've been hearing this morning, and I agree. I need a spiritual solution in order to live in this world. My binge foods are everywhere. However, in my own home, I do have some control, and generally speaking, I choose not to have my binge foods in my house, just to play it safe. And also, when I have people over, unless it's a potluck, I tend to serve food that is wholesome and fresh, and I find that people really appreciate that. It's a welcome change for them. I'm pretty famous for my salads, and I also serve fresh fruit and things like that for something sweet. And I especially did that when my daughter was young. And I would always have healthy food available for her, but I didn't prohibit her from eating other foods when she went elsewhere. That's not to say there was never any sugar, flour, etc. in my house. There was. But by and large, I provided healthy food for her just so as not to tempt fate. And I didn't want to get any vicarious pleasure from serving foods that I wasn't eating. I think, especially with children, in the case of children, I can serve them healthy alternatives to refined foods, and they usually love it. They usually really enjoy it. So if I am in control of what's being served, I try to serve healthy options while not being controlling and remembering that I'm not ultimately in control. Everyone is going to have freedom to choose what they want to choose. But if it's my job, that particular meal, to provide the food, I can provide healthy food without being rigid about it or controlling. And people generally would really enjoy it. That said, the solution to my problem as a compulsive overeater is the 12 steps of recovery of Overeaters Anonymous. Absolutely. Thank you for allowing me to share. And thank you for your service.
And thank you so much. Okay, we still have some time. Anyone would like to comment on this?
This is Austin. I'd like to comment, Monica.
Austin, go ahead.
Yes. Hi, good morning, everyone. Happy Monday. You know, this is a beautiful paragraph, and by the way, I'm Austin R. I'm a grateful, very grateful compulsive eater in Massachusetts. And, you know, the paragraph starts with, "We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking as an institution." And I guess the way I'm extrapolating this is and again, we're in a paragraph about, or a section about working with others, to other people in disease, never grateful to never show intolerance or hatred of people that are perhaps still living in disease. And, you know, I find myself, and it happened yesterday, to be out in a store, and you know, happened to observe two adults that appeared to be of a healthy body weight with a young child that appeared to be somewhat overweight. And, you know, what I'm struck with is the phrase there, "But for the grace of God goes I," and just thoughts of, you know, food is love. You know, food was love growing up. You know, I heard someone share recently that, you know, their parents would eat what they did of a meal, and they would put the rest on the child's plate for them to eat. And, you know, while it would be perhaps viewed as enabling behavior, I think in context it was showing love to kind of sacrifice what wasn't needed to another, to give to a child. But I guess I just wanted to make the note of having tolerance and acceptance and compassion and empathy for those that we may see outside of our walls that may still be suffering. And I wonder how I can be of service, and yet I know I need to be a source of attraction. So anyway, thank you for letting me share, and thank you all for this incredible service that you do every single day. Thank you.
And thank you, Austin. Okay, we have a couple more minutes. We maybe can take two people. Anybody?
Hi,
Leia. This is Betty W.
Okay, I hear Betty W. and I hear Leia. Please go ahead, Betty.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for leading the meeting and everyone who's on the line and working the program with me. There's a phrase that says unsolicited advice is a form of criticism. And if I'm going to give somebody unsolicited advice on how to do their program, or go over to them and tell them what they need to do about their weight issue or any other personal issue, I feel criticizing them. And I really have to look at my intention and saying, what is this? This is coming from my ego. And I also feel, as the previous speaker said, that first sentence is so important. We are careful never to show intolerance or hatred of drinking / compulsive eating as an institution, because if I do that and I'm judging somebody else in their addiction, I'm really playing one-upmanship and looking at myself as better. And I'm not better than anyone else. I'm on the same level as we all are. And I'm an addict and trying to get healthy. And everyone I meet is trying, I think, to get healthy in some way, or working with things that they need to work on. And so for me to just speak from my own experience is really what I can share, my own experience in recovery. And I'm so grateful because I learned that in this program in A Vision for You and from others in the OA program. And before that, I always made myself look better because of my insecurities. And I'm sorry to say that, but that's who I was before I was recovered. So thank you all for sharing your wisdom with me, because it helps me grow one day at a time. And with that, I'll pass.
And thank you so much, Beth W. And we'll have Leia. Leia, please go ahead.
Good morning, Janice. Thanks so much. We would not even do the cause of temperate drinking any good, for not one drinker in 1,000 likes to be told anything about alcohol by one who hates it. Certainly when I'm out, engaging in social occasions or in my own home, I do what I need to do because I know who and what I am. I am a real compulsive overeater, and I am bodily and mentally different from those around me. And so, yes, anybody that is with me, that will become apparent. And I'm not here to sell anything. This is a program of attraction, not promotion. And certainly intolerance is a barrier against recovery, so I'm not out there to bash anybody's way of life or any of the other programs that try to assist folks in terms of losing weight. My example has to be the guide. However, that being said, once I'm in an OA meeting, I have a responsibility and an obligation and a duty to share my personal experience, as well as offer an adequate representation of the program of recovery. And I don't know about your experience, and I certainly don't know about your disease, but I can tell you about mine. And that is, that basically from the years 1982 through 1987, while I sat in OA rooms, OA gave me enough rope to hang myself. Now, I'm not blaming Overeaters Anonymous completely for the lack of adequate representation of the program of recovery. However, I can tell you with great honesty that the doctor's opinion was never, ever presented to me in those meetings. Now, the doctor's opinion, which is in the front of the book, is the foundation of the whole big book and our fellowship. And to the non-compulsive overeater, this section may simply seem to be a helpful introductory note. I mean, for goodness sakes, it only has Roman numerals. Can't be that important, can it? But, you know, without it, the entire book doesn't make sense. And, you know, Dr. William Silkworth was the first one to fully understand and put it to words what an alcoholic's problem is, this idea of an allergy and a normal physical reaction to something. Now, obviously, we all have different allergic, substances, so that's not my point to drill down on a particular food plan. That's not my point. My point is that I do have a responsibility because it is my experience, because I could not gain access to a power greater than myself through these steps without understanding and applying what is learned in the doctor's opinion. So I don't mean to step on any toes in any OA meetings. I just have to share, feel a responsibility to share when I go into those OA meetings my experience and what this text describes in the very front of the book before embarking on the journey of spirituality through the 12 steps. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
And thank you so much. That was Leah M. Okay, it is that time, so I want to thank everyone who has shared. We will now close with the reading from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Angela D., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Angela D. from Westchester, a very grateful compulsive overeater, recovered a day at a time. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you as and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, we cannot transmit something we haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand him. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.